Good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday to all of you. My name is Pete. I am one of the pastors here. We are super glad that you are here. Welcome to week 8-ish. I have actually officially lost track, finally, of our year of good news, where we're reading the Bible together and praying out of the passage or preaching out of the passages we read during the week when we get together on Sunday. Last week, John gave a great message on the Holy Spirit. That's a message that's at the foundation of how we live out our faith together here in this church. And if you missed it, you can check it out on our website or on iTunes, and it will be really helpful to you. Today's good news is coming from Acts 6, and it is good news for all of us, but especially for those who are vulnerable among us. And so I spent some time reflecting this week on vulnerable people that I've known here in our community. I have always worked with people on the margins of any community I'm a part of, perhaps because I have lived on the margins of communities. And so I've gotten to see and hear many challenging stories, and you may not have had the same opportunity. And so I thought I would share a couple of those stories with you before we start today. I have a close friend who had come to the United States without a family from a place where he was not safe to find a better life. And his employer found out that he didn't know how things work here. And so they started cutting his pay. He went from $12 an hour to $10 an hour to $8 an hour to $5 an hour to $2 an hour. He was working more than full time. He was paying rent on his home, the same rent you and I pay. And obviously, he couldn't make ends meet. He didn't even know what he could do about the situation. He brought it up with me as a fluke. And of course, it took some time, but we straightened that out. Later on, his roommate found out that he had been saving all his money so he could go to school. And his roommate stole all his money and threw all his belongings out. His roommate was the one on the lease. He said, if you ever come back here, I'll call the police as soon as I see you. Now, this is a friend that I love. He is a brother in Christ. He has loved me well over the years. And I was so crushed and so angry, and there was so little that I could do. The very same month, two friends I'm close to came to the United States a little earlier seeking asylum, and they were approved for work on their asylum application, but they hadn't received their permits in the mail yet. And so they found a job doing manual work for cash so that they would not be homeless in winter. And after 2 weeks of working really hard on manual labor on a project, you know, both of them are educated and wouldn't normally be doing that, their boss said the client didn't want to pay. And so they needed to rework the entire project. And so they spent another 2 weeks doing more than full-time manual labor. And at the end, the client said, I'm not going to pay, and their boss never paid them either. They had to take out loans to make rent. They ate a lot less food than usual. That month really opened my eyes to how the world treats the vulnerable. The vulnerable are targets of thievery and oppression. And what little they have is often taken away by those who have plenty. I will never forget when a friend asked for prayer because her kids had to walk by drug users in the apartment hallway, and there was violence in their really small complex regularly. And so her two middle school boys never left their two-bedroom apartment unit if they were not at school. And I asked if she was working on getting subsidized housing or any other way out. And she said, you know what, if I would just quit working, I would get enough help to live in a better place. But I can't live with myself if I quit working. And so she depended on prayer for herself and her family. Now, each of these situations happened to people that I love and know very well in our church family, and they represent thousands more people around us right now, many of them in this room right now and in first service. The world is an unsafe place for people who are economically vulnerable, and yet God loves us all. Amen? All of us. And so what is the good news for people who are in need? And what is our part? Today I get to preach from Acts 6, 1-7. This is one of the central New Testament passages about God's mercy and justice. And before we read, there's a couple things going on historically that are helpful to keep in mind. First off, widows in the ancient world were tremendously vulnerable. Their position in society was so tenuous that the Bible says in James, "True religion is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress." Back then, people survived in households, and when a woman married, she moved into her husband's household, and life expectancy wasn't as long as it is today. And when she became a widow, her parents were gone too, and women did not and could not have jobs. And so without a provider, they were an easy target for anyone who wanted to move in and say, there's no man here, get out. Go live on the streets. Go starve. They were as vulnerable as orphans, and this continues in many parts of the world today. National Geographic ran a special not too long ago on how widows are viewed as outcasts, pariahs, or prey. In many societies, the United Nations has an International Widows Day because it's so hard in so many places for them. The second thing is that's helpful to know is that the church at this point is growing rapidly. We see in Acts 4 and 5 how the church has been growing, with three things getting special attention. First off, the apostles are preaching and teaching the word of God. Second off, God is doing God stuff. He's doing miracles. And thirdly, all these new believers are giving financially to support the poor among them. And it's these three things working together that draw people to Jesus and the family of God. Even though at this time there's a lot of fear of persecution, and in this day and age, persecution meant, hey, we might come kill you. And so as the church grows, its old systems are not working and they have to make changes. I wrote a good sentence here. Growth presents opportunities and challenges. Amen? We just saw all these new families that are growing. Do you think there's any opportunities and challenges going on? Lord, help these parents. Help us help these parents. The same people can't do all the work when things grow. They need help. Now, fortunately, God has a plan because God is good. And so let's read Acts 6. We'll start with verse 1. But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. Now, I happen to believe that this passage contains a lot of the heartbeat of God. And if you will open your ears and your heart, you can share God's heartbeat. From the very beginning, God has had his people taking care of the vulnerable among them. It's in the very first laws in the Old Testament. And the apostles in the early stage of the church are doing the preaching and teaching and overseeing, making sure that the money that comes in leads to everybody having enough. And so in Acts 4 and 5, it talks about the generosity of the early believers and the special care that they're taking of the widows. This is actually one of the characteristics of the early church that stood out to ancient historians to the point where we still have documents about how amazed people were that these people are spending so much time taking care of people who can't take care of them back. This is still the heart of God. We follow the God of mercy. Amen? God provides enough for everyone. There is enough for everyone in the world. And he provides for those who don't have enough through those of us who have more than enough. Loving those who are vulnerable is at the heart of Christ. It's the heart of God from the early laws of the Old Testament, leaving enough food for people to come gather who don't have their own land, through the centuries to the start of the church in Acts 6, and all the way through to today. When the people of God are serious about the teaching of God, there's generosity, and God does miracles, and the poor are taken care of. Now, this verse shows us the heart of God. It also speaks to our hearts, to the heart of human nature. The most natural thing in the world is for us to take care of our people first. Some kid punches your kid, you know, maybe you go, what did my kid do, right? But who are you going to take care of? You're going to take care of your own child. This is what we do for whoever we consider our people to be. And that's a normal human dynamic, and it's been that way since forever. It's just how we work. The Hebrew believers in this passage had lived in Israel for centuries. They were a large majority of their culture. And they didn't have to be malicious to overlook the minority Greek believers. They were just being normal humans. When we look after people like us first, we're doing the natural human thing. But it led to a situation where the Greek believers are complaining on behalf of their widows because they're being overlooked and they don't have enough food to live. And all of this took place in the sight of God, who loves us equally. And it got back to the 12 apostles who were leading the community. And so what does God have to say? What do the apostles do? Verses 2 to 4. And so the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. They said, "We apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running the food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected and are full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. we will give them this responsibility, and then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word. Now, I love this passage. I think it has a ton in here of wisdom and the priorities of God, and it shows us how to be the church of God. And so I've heard this read like, well, we need to teach the word of God, not do a food program, as if there's some like greater or lesser thing going on here. So you're one of only 12 people who are running around who have lived with Jesus, experienced his teaching personally, and are charged with carrying it to the world. What should you be doing with your spare time? How about what God made you for? How about that, right? Like, what should you be doing? You should be doing that. They don't have like spare apostles. You know, there aren't like the backup apostles to do the apostles' work, right? And so they say, you know what, like we've gotten too big. We can't do both of these things at the same time. And we need to do the thing God's told us to do. You need to do the thing God has for you. God has a call for your life. The first call God has for your life is to do everything you are currently doing for him. That is absolutely the call of God on your life, whether it's easy or whether it's hard, whether you're at work, at play, in your neighborhood, with your family. The first call of God on your life is to do everything you're doing for him. And as you do that, as you live your life for God, he starts to reveal more of how and what you're made for, and you get more opportunities to step into the call of God. And so the apostles say, yeah, you know what, we got to step into the call that God's put in our lives. We're in charge, we're the majority, and so we got to figure out how the work of God can continue to happen. Because this ministry is super important. Serving the vulnerable is so important, it needs people who are well-respected in the community, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, because serving the vulnerable and needy requires these things. Amen? Those of us who've done this? And so they get together and they choose 7 of them. And I am super grateful for the ministry leaders that God gives to his people. I want to give you some examples. I am grateful for Gay Naren and Vanessa and Jeremiah Berg, who oversee Celebrate Recovery in this church. When I stepped into leading here, I had to dial back some of my other commitments in order to do what God was calling me to do. And so I passed Celebrate Recovery off to the best people that I knew. And CR has grown and thrived under 3 co-leaders who are well-respected, who are full of the Holy Spirit, and who are wise. And I feel exactly the same way about Loaves and Fishes. Our lead chef and coordinator, Mona, is a woman of God. I respect her as much as anybody in the world. She is wise and kind and beautiful. The apostles know the heartbeat of God. And so they work out his call on their lives and make sure that God is continuing to lead them in the work of ministry to the vulnerable by assigning the best of who they've got. Because God cares. As Thanksgiving approaches, we have an event that has always been one of our central ways of expressing God's care. Now, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday by a mile. It was not always so. But my first Thanksgiving as a Christian is when I was 23. I had been free of drugs for 6 months, and I had no family or friends in the college town where I lived, and all the students take off when the holidays hit anyway. This guy from University Christian Fellowship announced in one of our meetings that any students without a place to go for Thanksgiving could come to my home. And so I was driving out there, and I saw a hitchhiker and picked him up to bring him too. And we got to spend Thanksgiving having this really great meal with a collection of people that I got to know more because we spent a holiday together, alone, but together. And so ever since then, I have at least 2 Thanksgivings, sometimes 3, one with family and one with people in need. And the second Thanksgiving is better. I think it's such a miracle that God connected me with this church 8 years later. I'm a part of a fellowship that celebrates every Thanksgiving by sharing with those in need. Now, I hope that you will pray, give, and serve in our Thanksgiving giveaway. Our Bible reading this week showed the early church praying, celebrating the generosity of those who gave, and doing the work of serving those in need. That is the church of God in action. It's prayer and generosity and service. I want you to be a part of the church of God in action. Because it's great in here. I'm hoping, although we are at a lower point in giving than usual, that we're going to turn it around and give more than we spend. When we do, the extra goes directly into our compassion fund, which is exclusively for people in crisis and need, and it's been nearly depleted for months. And so I'm hoping we go from, like, too low right now to too much. I'm hoping we can bless some people in need around Christmas. And so we're planning out the work of ministry as best we can, just like the apostles do in verses 1 through 4. So how did the early followers of Jesus respond to the apostles' plan of delegation? Verses 5 and 6. Everyone liked this idea, and they chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit; Philip, Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas of Antioch, an earlier convert to the Jewish faith. Now these seven were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them and laid their hands on them. So the apostles delegate the work, and everyone likes the idea. They didn't shut the program down because people were complaining about it. They didn't say, hey, stop complaining, you poor minority people who are getting overlooked. Go away somewhere else. Have your people take care of you. They shared God's heart of mercy. They knew Jesus had quoted Deuteronomy 15:11. You know what Deuteronomy 15:11 says? The poor will always be with you. That is why I am commanding you to share freely with the poor. God's mercy is new every morning. Amen? It's new for you. It is especially new for people in need. And so we see the mercy of God throughout this passage. What about the justice of God? Where does the caring for vulnerable minorities who are overlooked and missing out come in? This is where a language detail is really important. It's the Greek widows who are the minority and being overlooked in the distribution of food. Every name on the list of guys overseeing it from now on is Greek. We know the nationalities of two of these men for sure. They're Greek. When the distribution was unequal, the apostles included and empowered the minority group, quite possibly handing over the entire thing for them to run. This is countercultural. In the world, the most vulnerable are taken advantage of. And it is not like that in the kingdom of heaven and the church of God. Power in the kingdom of God is always for the benefit of other people. The ones in charge in the family of God are called to make sure everyone is taken care of. And I hope that we are doing that for you and for those you love. Those of us who have been given more than we need, that is because God is good and he's a provider. And it is also because he wants to provide through us for those with less. God's generous and good and kind. And he's given us more than we need. There's enough food in the world for everybody to eat 5 pounds a day. That's more than you should be eating. There's enough money in the world for everybody to have a nice life. God's given plenty. He's inviting all of us to share from what God has provided for us. Today's story is about what happened 2,000 years ago, and today's story is about today. We have vulnerable people around us and among us and here. We have single parents with challenging jobs and no benefits or support. We have elderly people with no health care, living on barely enough to get by. We have people with felony convictions 5, 10, 20 years ago that mean they cannot find a job and are not allowed to rent. We have immigrants who are overlooked because they speak other languages and come from another culture, and the list goes on, right? The heartbeat of God is for mercy. It's for sharing with those in need because they're vulnerable. And the heartbeat of God is for his people to make justice, to empower the vulnerable so that their people are not overlooked, will not go hungry, and will not feel like a second-class family. If you're here today and you are vulnerable or have been vulnerable, you are not second-class family here. We do not look down on you for your age, race, homelessness, parenting challenges, or immigration status, or whatever. We welcome you as brothers and sisters, because that's who you are as we trust in Christ together. You are our family. We want to live out the heartbeat of God. That's why the Thanksgiving giveaway is worth doing in a year when many of us are ready to tap out on generosity. It was a lot of work to build this space here, and a bunch of us gave a lot of times. And a lot of us are like, Jesus, we're done, right? I know why the giving's lower than it usually is. It's because we gave a lot. It's been hard. We've given stuff up, right? And so if you're here and you haven't been doing that, we need you. Help. You know? It needs all of us. On Friday and Saturday before Thanksgiving, we're going to welcome people who do not always come on Sunday, but many of them have, and a lot of them do. And we're going to welcome everybody who comes as long-lost best friends into a place God created for them. It's the church. And we're going to serve food all day, hot dogs and cookies and coffee and stuff. And there are people who come 6, 8, 10 hours early to hang out with us for the day. And a lot of the people who come ask how they can help and do the work with us. And some of those who receive boxes are here once a year, and some of them are here every week. These boxes are for everybody who would not have Thanksgiving without them. And so if that's you, please come and get a box and give and serve and pray too. And this year, we're going to have two programs. Last year, the number of Spanish speakers who came for a box dropped like a brick. 90% of our Spanish-speaking folks did not come last year. And so I asked a bunch of people, like, what is going on? And our best understanding is they were afraid of being identified and turned into the government. And so this year, we're going to have a Spanish language program run by Lavinia. Our Spanish, yes, that's pretty great, right? That's our Spanish-speaking congregation. They're meeting right now over in the other sanctuary, and our kids are hanging out together in kids' church right now. We're putting special effort into outreach for Spanish-speaking immigrants this year because God is about helping our brothers and sisters in Christ who have been overlooked. And an awesome thing happens when we do this work together. Acts 6:7 is a culmination of the last few chapters. These chapters start with the ministry of the apostles, preaching and teaching and praying. There are some passages about the generosity of the early believers and celebrating that generosity. And then like two of them give and lie about how much they gave and fall over dead. I don't want to touch that on a Sunday. We're just going to leave that one alone for now, right? Just leave that one alone for now. They celebrate the generosity of those who gave so that everybody could have enough. And then we read today's passage about the mercy and justice of God. Where does this all lead? Verse 7. And so God's message continued to spread, and the number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. When you take faithfulness to the message and ministry of Christ, throw in some generosity, mix in some mercy and justice, what do you get? You get people knowing God's actually real, because this is not possible for people to do. You get people seeing Jesus. And you get a great increase in the number of believers, to the point where even priests are converting. This is the heartbeat of God. He wants his family to grow by doing the stuff that he has for us to do. God wants to grow us, who are here right now. We made more space here with like smaller chairs to make room for you. If you have been coming in the last few months, if you're visiting today, you're the reason we did all this stuff. It's because we know God wants you in his family. We know for a fact that God loves you. We want you to have a place in the family of God for the rest of your life. And in our ideal world, it would be right here. If God's on that great, we welcome you. God loves you. You're our family. And we're going to grow. We got empty chairs. Not as many today. We took some out. We'll put some more up. We could grow in 1,000 different ways. There are so many books about how to grow your church and podcasts and YouTubes. I'm going to tell you how we got where we are and how we're going to move forward. Through preaching and teaching the Word of God. Through whatever miracles God chooses to do among us. And through the generosity of people like you. So that we can together do the work of service to the most vulnerable in, among, and around us. That is our creed, it is our history, and it is our plan. This is how we are going to grow. Now, we have a place for you in this plan. We need you in this plan, like right now. Do you hear that? 20 people out of the 100 we need to show up on Friday and Saturday to serve? It's a math problem. I'm a pastor, it's not my specialty. We'll let God figure out the math. Our hope is that you find God and find a friend here. And I also hope that you will find a job, a place to serve and give of yourself toward the work of our community. You can sign up on your connection card to serve on one of our teams. Our teams are once a month. It's low bar. You can do that. You can also serve and then come to the other service. And you could do that every other week or even every week. I did that for so long before I was a pastor. You can just show up and serve and then go to service. It's amazing. You get to be around all these great people. You get to worship twice. I mean, the songs were good today, right? Sing to Jesus. This is how we sing to Jesus. We do this together. That's our song. This is how we're going to accomplish the purpose that God has given us. We're going to help a growing number of people love God, love people, and change the world. Amen? Could you please stand? I invite the worship team to come back forward. Our sermons end with three tips for putting the Word of God into practice, something to read, something to pray, and something to do. The intent here is that you would go do these three things and experience the Word of God in your life. Tip number one is to read with us. Doing justice and mercy work without the heart of God gets real old real fast. It's why my 10 years in social work was with the bitterest people I've ever worked with in my life. Until you connect to the heart of God day in and day out, it's going to be real hard to be generous and kind all the time. And so start to build into your life the rhythm of reading the Bible, meeting the Lord, doing the good work that empowers you to do good work. Tip number two, pray for the mercy and justice of God for and through us. We have people who need the mercy and justice of God desperately today, right now, right here. And we need prayer that God would give that mercy and justice because he can do stuff we can't. He knows about the stories we can't tell. And then we want God to do mercy and justice through us. Pray that he would do that. And lastly, give, pray, and serve with us. I mean, you can do this wherever God has for you. If you're visiting today for a child dedication, God bless you. Go do it with someone else. But find a place to give and pray and serve. Just keep doing it. Church of God in action. Amen. If you're on the prayer team, could you come forward right now? We close our services with some more worship and prayer. Worship and prayer are the most important things when we gather together. And so during the next two songs, we invite you to come up and receive prayer from anybody. And I'm just going to lead us into prayer as we transition. God, we are so grateful for your gift of Jesus Christ, your compassion for us, for how you respond to our vulnerability. If you're here today and you are vulnerable somewhere in your life, like right now, may the Holy Spirit of God come on you right now. He is here and he has compassion for you and he is for you. God, we got a lot of needs in here. And we offer them to you and we ask that you would meet them. We ask that you would open your eyes to how through us we can meet them for others. And we offer ourselves to you and we trust that you will do good with us. And so receive us, God, our bodies, our minds, our hearts, our souls. Receive us and do with us as you will. You are good. If you have been feeling especially vulnerable, we would love to pray a blessing over you. You can come forward and any of these wonderful people would so gladly pray for you. If there are other needs you have, feel free to come forward and get prayer. We'll close by worshiping together. The worship team will let us know when it's time to go. If you're visiting today, love to say hi in the lobby. God bless you. Let's worship God.